And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAKorea.com. We are today talking with Tom Kelly. He's the CEO of HealthSmart, which is a self-insured benefits administrator. Tom, welcome to the show.
Well, glad to be here.
Thank you. So, you know, healthcare is probably one of the biggest changing areas in the country today. Tell me a little about what you're seeing in the last 4 to 6 months that really has you talking about why innovation is so important in today's healthcare market.
Sure. I'd say I think we all think of the healthcare market as a place that's pretty much an incessant innovator around kind of the technology and the science of healthcare, and that's really correct. I'd probably spend more of my time, though, on how do we actually innovate around simplifying the administrative processes of healthcare, making it more consumer-friendly, really connecting the consumer to a buying experience that's really quite different from what the health system has permitted historically. And our hope, of course, is to go from a really confusing, often painful, almost always expensive system to something better than that.
So when you're looking at saying, hey, there's got to be change made here in the healthcare, do you see an openness to it? Is it something that you're seeing resistance to? Or we'll get into the, you know, the details in a minute, but how open are healthcare systems? How open are insurers? How open are people to the change?
So I think that's a probably more a two-part answer. I'd say the kind of the dominant players in the healthcare system, the very big health systems and the big carriers, of course, really don't like change at all. And even incremental change is managed carefully, so they can talk about it before they do it and do it without it costing them any significant amount of money. So I'd say what you have is more the appearance of change than real change. And I'd say generally on the institutional side, both carriers and health systems, real reluctance to change and a real fear that it will undermine their value proposition or at least revenue stream. On the other side, on the consumer side, tremendous appetite for change. And that is they want to know prices. They want to be able to shop. They don't want to discover physicians who are not contracted with their plan after the fact. They don't want to see complicated bills, and they want they actually want to have the same kind of retail simplicity and immediacy they experience in the rest of the consumer world.
So you have an article published in Executive Insights magazine basically pleading with the healthcare outlets to start making the bills clearer and readable.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that article, why you published it, what was the impetus for it, why you're out there talking about it today.
Yeah. Well, I think all of us believe we need real competition in healthcare. And competition really doesn't exist or prosper in the absence of price transparency. Ultimately, the buyer has to be able to understand what the prices are and to be able to compare them from one provider to the next. Really, neither is possible in today's world. Insurance companies, the carriers have basically intervened saying, we'll worry about prices. To some extent, they do that job, but they've actually made pricing just as impossible to understand to their members as the providers did originally. So, for example, you can have your knee replaced and get a bill from a hospital that's 3 pages long, not any one of which actually says one left knee replacement. My guess is we ought to have bills that say exactly that, one left knee replacement, and one bill, not three or four or six bills, which is kind of typical in inpatient hospitals today, or three or four bills, which would be typical in an outpatient surgical facility. And the patient ought to know what that price is going to be before somebody sticks anesthesia in their arm. and wheels them into the operating room. But almost always that's not the case today.
So as employers and employees clamor for more transparency, more information, simplification, an option that they're turning to, and we're hearing this from obviously Texas, where you are up to Maine, is self-insurance. So tell me a little bit about how that plays into this factor and the pros and cons to it, really, across the board.
Yeah. So you say first, self-insurers, so companies that are paying the bills and want to understand the bills, always are on the vanguard of these efforts. They want to understand how they could buy better and more effectively. For almost all of them, healthcare expense, the premiums they're paying for their healthcare for their employees, are their single biggest, least controllable operating problem. So one of the things that gets forgotten in all this is you have employers really struggling with the ability to afford healthcare premiums, and with many of them passing along some significant part of that pain to their employees, who now find themselves with higher deductibles and copays and more at risk for the total cost of care. So it's for those people that you really have to ultimately design the transparency system. I'll give you a simple example. Here in Dallas, for a chest x-ray, we would end up paying anywhere between $45 and $2,000 for a chest x-ray.
It's huge. That's a huge swing.
Yeah. And for somebody early in the year, could end up paying the whole $2,000 out of pocket.
That's true, because the deductibles continue to go up. I mean, I think that we have seen everything from, especially if you're talking small business deductibles.
Yeah.
You know, small business has really been bearing the brunt of this in terms of the amount that they're having to cough up in terms of larger deductibles. You know, what used to be two is now three is now $5,000, and we haven't seen some at $10,000 deductibles.
Sure. Yeah.
What do you see?
Go
ahead. I'm sorry. Continue.
So first you want to put a tool in people's hands that educate them about the range of prices in a marketplace. We do that. So we have a partnership with a place called Healthcare Blue Book. They really do a pretty terrific job of looking at the most common procedures that you can shop for, because there's a lot of stuff that comes as a result of emergency care that you never really have a chance to shop for. But for most of what healthy people consume, they have the opportunity to shop. And you should be able to see what the low price is in the community and the high price. You should be able to look at a list of those lower-priced providers, and you should probably get some help from your plan to figure out how to get there.
Well, that would seem like common sense, wouldn't it?
It does to me.
Well, I'd like to say common sense is common, but I say it all the time that common sense sometimes is uncommon. In terms, and I think if you're thinking about it in healthcare, that's probably very true.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's interesting is maybe for the lower cost providers, you could actually call them advance today and get a price, or at least a price estimate. The more expensive the procedure becomes, the less likely it's going to be you get any price estimate before you actually show up for the service.
So when an employer is now looking to think about ways to really save and get costs, tell me how HealthSmart can be a player and a partner in this.
Yeah, so we have to, there's many different ways that either a carrier or an administrator like us assists the self-insured employer. So kind of the simple list is you first try and get competitive unit prices in a market. Secondarily, try and do care management around those members that have high costs and high medical needs and really struggle to find their way around the system. And then I'd say ultimately you try and help people to shop effectively. So one, to understand that shopping is possible in healthcare; two, to put the tools in their hands; three, to make the investment, particularly early on, to help teach them how to use those tools. And then ultimately to move the utilization of healthcare services to the low-cost site of service. There's been really virtually no emphasis on finding a low-cost site of service historically in the health insurance realm. You know, our guess is that you could reduce an average employer's cost somewhere between high single digits and high teens just by moving people to low-cost sites of care.
Is there a difference between looking at self-insured when you're dealing with size of organizations? Today, one of the things that I've heard is that it's a little challenging to get some of the smaller companies to be self-insured just because of the sheer number of people that need to be involved in it. Are there ways for people to group together? Are there state restrictions? Are there federal restrictions? Are there a way to make this a little more manageable from an overall cost and structure perspective?
Yeah, I'd say first, probably the most important point is really almost no matter what size you are as an employer, you're buying at probably comparable unit prices for physician and hospital services to what the very largest corporations buy at. So for most folks, 90% of their cost is determined in a contractual process controlled by the carriers that really offers the same unit price regardless of the size of the employer for all those services. Really what's difficult for a small employer is the potential volatility in the cost. For a big employer to have, a big employer is much more likely to have an averageable number of cancer, cardiac, cardiothoracic surgery, premature baby, other kinds of expensive cases in a year, and they actually have an insurance pool that says from year to year the costs are going to be not so volatile. But for an individual employer, for an employer of 50 or 100 people, one really expensive case in a year can make it an unbelievably bad year. Now we use reinsurance to temper that. But your ability to use reinsurance is also impacted by small risk pool risks, right? Which a 50 or 100 employee company has a very small pool of costs, and as a result, the cost of insurance, whether you insure at the individual company level or you reinsure, is going to be tougher to manage than it would be for a very large employer. But that's where there's some distribution cost differentials. The administrative costs for a smaller employer are going to be a little bit higher, but not tremendously so. The more difficult part of it is how do you actually manage the volatility and limit its impact year to year on the employer.
So just to get clarity on one part of my question, can associations or groups of companies band together to create healthcare groups when they're smaller, let's say 25 to 50 employees? Are there association type things that are allowed interstate or across state lines?
The self-insurance is basically regulated at the federal level. So if you could do a self-insured plan, you could do it across states. Insurance is a little bit more difficult because health insurance is actually regulated at the state level. So putting together an association plan that would reach across multiple states would actually have to be different plans that comply with the state rules in each of those places. Those rules are less different today than they were before the Affordable Care Act, but still a little bit different. You also have relatively strict rules about whether the risk can actually be pooled or it has to stay at the individual employee level. So, for example, it's not unusual for a Chamber of Commerce to have an association plan, but it's merely a sponsor of that plan. It's not effectively pooling the risk for it. There are private employee organizations out there that actually can effectively group employees into a larger entity for purposes of benefits. Fairly strict set of rules around doing that. And it effectively moves the employee from being a direct employee of an individual employer to being part of a pooled set of employees whose full-time job is actually assigned to an employer.
So that's like a PEO type system.
Yeah.
In terms of, okay.
Yes, yeah.
And that certainly, we have seen some employers really starting to look at things like that to control costs.
Yep. Yes, I think it's a valuable thing to do. It has operational impacts that can be hard to manage, but it's certainly a tactic to end up with a larger insurance pool and probably some more administrative muscle to be able to manage the benefits themselves.
We're talking with Tom Kelly. He's the CEO of Texas-based HealthSmart. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
You make the decision to buy the home, then you're faced with what's next? What do we do?
We started at Realtor.com.
Realtor.com gave us a lot more current information.
Listings are pulled directly from the MLS every 15 minutes.
Once you've gone through all of that, the Realtor makes it happen.
We worked with the Realtor that really knew the area.
And he knew the market.
When you have someone who has the expertise, it makes it so much easier.
Realtor.com and Realtors. Together, we make home happen. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And today we're talking with Tom Kelly, CEO of Texas-based HealthSmart. HealthSmart is a self-insured benefits administrator. Tom, thanks for being on the show today.
Glad to be here.
Tom's a thought leader, and he's written a lot of articles having to do with bucking the healthcare system the way it is today, and really talking about streamlining and processing that really saves on costs, saves on healthcare costs, and really are things that organizations and companies should think about when they're looking to really manage their healthcare processes. Tom, you wrote an article having to do with bundling pricing. This was an executive insight. Tell me a little bit about bundled pricing so that the audience can understand what that means.
Sure. Bundled pricing is a single bill for a service, even if that service is a relatively complex one. And even if it involves multiple physicians and other providers that might otherwise bill separately. Easiest example, if you go into the hospital today, you're going to receive a bill from the hospital. You may receive a separate bill from the emergency room physicians, from the intensivists and the hospitalists, from the surgeons or medical doctors who see in the hospital, from radiologists, from laboratory physicians, and so you can find the experience quite distressing, definitely confusing, and by the time you add it all up, very expensive. What's even tougher is, even if your surgeon or medical doctor, primary medical doctor, is in network, that means has a contract with your carrier, it may be that several of those physicians don't. And they send you a bill that will surprise you both by its amount and by what it's going to cost you.
Well, and surprises are bad when it comes to health care costs, right? I mean, I like surprises, but that's not a good surprise.
There are a few good surprises in health care. So.
No, you're absolutely right. What do you think is the reason, other than I know you've stated a little bit about the resistance from the systems themselves, what do you think of the reason that it's taking a while for this to really catch hold?
I'd say that it's easy to understand. If Walmart could have as much customer traffic as it wanted without ever posting the prices, it would, right? Because it could then try and determine how price flexible or inflexible, how affordable it was, at the time of checkout, or maybe even later than that, because that's how the healthcare system works. You certainly don't have competition without prices being posted in advance and being simple enough for a consumer to understand.
Well, and I think that really is, when you think about it, the bottom line, isn't it, that we really want consumers to feel confident in what they're getting for health care and to be able to really understand. I know that certainly whenever you and I have certainly gone for procedures or so forth, sometimes I get three bills for the same thing, one from the doctor, one from the testing lab, one from the facility. And it is extremely confusing at times, and sometimes you get a surprise. Look, another bill has arrived. What is that all about? So I certainly understand the value and understand why this would be the case of what somebody would really like to do within the process. How are you going out there and really promoting this and trying to talk about this with organizations and others?
Yeah, so we do have leadership organizations out there that are doing this. So I'd invite everybody to go look at the Surgery Center of Oklahoma site. They're one of our partners in bundle pricing. They've been out there in the market for several years. And on their website, they have posted all-inclusive prices for 490 different surgical procedures. They have people coming from all over the United States and Canada because, one, the prices are transparent, knowable in advance, and secondarily, because they're very competitive with the best available prices in markets all across this country.
Well, I'm sure that took some real effort to do, because I do know that sometimes facilities don't necessarily really know what things cost, or at least don't perceive that they do.
Facilities have allowed themselves to get so caught up in charges, which have only a vague relationship and certainly not a consistent relationship with cost, that they've done really not a very good job at, one, standardizing their procedures and processes, understanding their costs, and building basically a cost proposition that a consumer can examine. So it's we need to announce, and we're not the only ones interested in this. If you watch, Medicare is moving towards bundled prices for the very same reason. They want simplicity and standardization. They want standard approaches and methods that are evidence-based. And one of the surest ways to go there is to bundle prices and cause people to manage their costs within the pricing algorithm.
You did another video for American Airlines talking about this issue. Can you describe that video? We're certainly going to make sure that, you know, after the show on HRPowerHour.com, we'll provide them the information to your website so they can see all this information.
Sure.
But certainly talk a little bit about the video.
Yeah, so I can tell you the genesis of the video was roughly, I don't know if you remember the movie Network, and star standing in the window going, "I'm mad as hell, I'm not going to take it anymore."
Of course, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, so the general, Peter Finch was wonderful in that, and unfortunately I can't appear nearly as attractive as he did in that video, but I think consumers and employers are very upset about how the healthcare system works and believe nobody's been paying attention. Employers are struggling every year with the costs. They're still getting a message that the costs are going to go up every year no matter what. They're not getting answers to why is this the case, and it's not primarily technology. And members are going, "I still find this the most confusing and increasingly the only really confusing relationship I have with the retail environment."
No, that's very true.
People have moved to buying, ordering things by smartphone, scheduling events by smartphone. Justifiably, they're going, "Why can't I do my everyday healthcare things the same way?"
Well, Tom, I appreciate you very much being on the show today. Again, Tom Kelly, he is the CEO of HealthSmart. HealthSmart is a self-insured benefits administrator. You've done a great job of explaining some of the challenges out there in healthcare today and some of the options that people provide. Again, we're going to be providing your website right on our HR Power Hour show. We're going to be also providing your email link. I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Delighted to join you.
And now your HR tip of the week. 10 reasons why your best employees quit. This is through trendhr.com. An organization's employee turnover is a reflection of the number of employees that leave the company during a certain period of time. If the turnover rate for your company is consistently on the rise, you need to take a step back and decipher the reason for your employees' departure. Here could be 10 reasons why. 1. Are you providing them only subpar work? Do you have inefficient management? A lack of proper training? An absence of career growth opportunities? Incompetent managers? No accountability? Excessive workflow? Unhelpful feedback? Inadequate compensation? Or even a bad work culture? Those are 10 things you need to think about if, in fact, you are having a lot of employees quit. That's your HR tip of the week. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.